Good morning. Good morning. My name is Hojin, and I am the young adult pastor here. I also serve as the executive pastor, and I have the great privilege of preaching God's word this morning. We're currently in a sermon series through Cornerstone's new mission and vision statements. Over the past 18 months, we've spent time gathering information from you. You've taken surveys, you've sat in different seminars, and we've been trying to discern through prayer what God wants for our church. And we're breaking down each phrase and looking at what Scripture says about some of the ideals and the values that we want to expound upon and we want to live out here at our church. And these statements are not just for the pastors, they're not just for the leadership team, they're not just for ministry volunteers, they're for every single person. That's our dream. We want everyone to participate. We want everyone to help us attain these things for the glory of God, for God's kingdom to be known. So today we look at the phrase in the mission statement. We'll read it together, actually. Cornerstone Church of Boston equips one another for a transforming life with Jesus, invests in a loving community, and seeks compassionate justice in the world. And that text in the yellow is what we're focusing on today. That Cornerstone would be a church that invests in a loving community. One of the apps on my phone that I use the most is Yelp, and I'm sure a lot of you have used it before, and I actually use it a lot when I'm trying to meet up with some of you, trying to figure out, especially if it's a neighborhood I've never been to, where a good coffee shop is, or maybe a good restaurant to just break bread over. And I love reading the reviews. Sometimes I just get caught up in the app, and I look up, you know, nearby restaurants and just read what people say, and it tends to be like two extremes, right? Really positive or really negative. The reviews tend to highlight the great things about the establishment, the restaurant, the business, or they expose the bad things, the negative things of the restaurant or business. And I started to think, what if Cornerstone had a Yelp page? Like, what would people write? And no one go out and create it because I'll be too freaked out to read any of it. I'll try to find out who, you know, like Bill J is, like who the heck, you know? But what would people write about our church? What would they write about our community? What would I want people to write about our community? And the reviews are really interesting because sometimes the owners of the establishment will comment on the positive ones, saying thank you for having a great experience. We hope you continue to have a great experience whenever you come. And the negative ones, where they're more apologetic and they want to make things right, they want to make amends. And I want to say for us today that we need to become more like those business owners when it comes to Cornerstone Church. So today we're going to look at one passage in Scripture that says a lot about what a loving community should be and how it can help us. So let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, starting from verse 7. So if you don't have your Bible, we'll have the Scripture on the screen. I also want to kindly ask everyone to refrain from, you know, using your phone for personal use, social media, writing emails, just for a few minutes. Our desire is that God can speak through Scripture, and just like Pastor Danny prayed, that it would not return to God when the word is preached empty. 1 John chapter 4, starting from verse 7, and we're going to read until verse 21. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has seen God. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Verse 17, by this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's lift up a quick prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is clear. Even in a passage like this where the grammar might be a little funky, we ask that you would make your truth be so evident to us, and that it would not just stay as truth that stays in our minds and that we understand with our brains, but it becomes something that stirs something in our hearts, because the Holy Spirit breathes life into the word, and the Holy Spirit breathes life into us. And we pray that through Jesus that we'll be able to live some of these things out, not for just our personal gain, but for your kingdom purposes and your glory. And we want to expand our minds, our hearts, our lives, so that you would be at the center of it. So Lord, even as we continue to investigate what it means as a church to live out your mission and your vision for Cornerstone, help us to do it together. Help us to experience synergy and testimonies of your work, things that we would have never expected, things we could have never done without you. Those are the types of experiences we want as a church. So strengthen us at this time. We pray that no person leaves this place unaffected, unchanged by your holy, awesome, powerful word. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In this passage, I believe that we're given three reasons why we must love one another. And it might be super obvious that Christians should love one another. And these reasons are going to be excessively obvious. They're going to be annoyingly simple. But I pray that these simple reasons go from head knowledge to heart commitment and motivate us from just theory and move us towards tangible actions in our daily lives. So, three reasons we must love one another. And I want all of you to look at me for a second and smile, because I want to mean this with all of my heart. We must love one another because God loves you. God loves you. If you don't hear anything today, God loves you. Our passage starts with the phrase in verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. It's actually two variances of the same word together. It's using the word agape. So those who are loved, love, right? Beloved ones, love. People who have been loved by God should in turn love other people who are loved by God. And the point is further emphasized in verse 11. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. That little preposition, so, it actually can be translated as in this manner or in this way. If God loved us in this way, we ought to love one another. And what is that preposition talking about? Oops, sorry.
I'm going to skip ahead a little. Nope. Excuse me.
The preposition there in this manner is talking about how God loved us. And in verse 9 and 10, it says that God sent Jesus. God sent Jesus so that we can live. God sent Jesus so that we can atone for our sin, that we would have propitiation for our sin. And to John, the logical conclusion of being loved is that you have to love. If you have been born again, if you come to true knowledge of God, you should love other sisters and brothers in the faith, in the body of Christ. And I know that not all of us here are committed to Cornerstone yet, and we're so glad that you're here. That's totally fine. So wherever you go, I hope these principles still apply. Wherever church you go to, wherever church you commit to, that you would love your church well. You would love the faces, the individual souls there well. So whoever loves is born of God and knows God. And the contrapositive, right, is true as well. The logical statement, anyone who does not love does not know God. There is no way, if you have been loved by God, that you can not love your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. The basis for loving one another is grounded in the fact that we're loved by God. He's the source of love. He's the source of love. He embodies love through all of his actions, through all of his words. We could read all of Scripture. And John doesn't shy away from being really blunt. If we don't love, we've missed the point. And it's as if we've never really come to know who God is, truly. And we have to look at this nature, the nature of the love. A lot of times we measure love according to how we love others or how we have been loved, but the way we do it biblically is that we look at God. If God loved us, we have to base our definition of love, our standard of love, on what he has done and what he says is love. And John makes it very clear in verse 10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us. That means God loved us before we had anything to do to earn his love, to deserve it, to merit it, to give him a reason to love us. He loved us way before that. God sends his one and only son, his best representative. And Sophie just shared, right? God was generous. He gave us Jesus Christ, his most prized possession, the MVP of heaven. And God sends Jesus not because we were nice to him, because we served him, because we did a good deed. God did it voluntarily. He did it so that he would have a relationship with us. This love is sacrificial. This love is proactive. And love, it needs to be defined on God's terms, because what I don't want to see is Cornerstone focusing too much on our differences. There's a chance that some of us give too much attention to the age gap between freshmen in college or first years in college and moms and dads at our church. There's a possibility that we will blow out of proportion the different lifestyle differences between married couples who don't have kids and married couples who do have kids. There's a possibility that we'll draw lines between the single people and those who are dating. If we make too much of the differences that we have, they become barriers to community. They become things that keep us from really loving one another. And I'll also say there's also a chance that we'll focus too much on similarities that we have on the surface. And it's not a secret, if we look around, most of us are Asian. Surprise. And it makes sense that we're comfortable around other Asians. It makes sense. But it can't be the chief reason why we love one another. It's not a secret that we have a lot of students at our church. Different campuses represented. But the reason we love one another can't be based on the fact that we go to school together. The fact that we study the same thing together. It's also not a secret that we love sports. Love sports. But that can't be a primary reason why we love one another. Instead, we need to focus on the most important thing we have in common with one another. The spiritual thing that we share. The fact that God loves you, that God loves me, God loves the person next to you that you might have just met a few minutes ago. We need to stop highlighting the differences. We need to stop highlighting similarities that are just on the surface. And we need to focus on the fact that each of us are made in the image of God. Each of us are loved by Him. God loves each and every one of us, regardless of differences and similarities that we have. So let's build up this body by upholding that one very important thing that we share with one another, that we are loved by God. The second reason we must love one another is that God lives in you. God lives in you. That's the second reason. In verses 12 and 13, John writes, "No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us." That word abide means remain or to stay. It's where we get the word abode, right? Humble, my humble abode, my humble home. God makes his home in you. And that word, John alone, in 1 John, the letter, he uses it 24 times. God abiding in us and us abiding in God is concerned with intimate, saving relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. Abiding in God and God abiding in us is concerned with deep connection with Him, finding all our strength, all our hope in Him. So God loves you so that He would remain with you, so that He would stay in you. He would live with you, live in you. And proof that God wants to have an intimate relationship with you is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to empower us, to equip us with everything that we need to obey God, to obey every single command that Jesus gives us in the Scripture. And loving one another is an important means to abide in God. The Scripture is clear. If we love one another, God abides in us. We have to love one another so that God would remain in us. In verses 17 and 18, it reads, "By this is love perfected in us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world." And verse 18 right here, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in faith." And when we love one another, God abides in us. But when God abides in us, when God abides in us, it results in confidence and fearlessness. There is no fear in love. That word there, confidence, in verse 17, it connotes concealing nothing, being open to the public. And in contrast, the word fear in verse 18 is talking about dread or terror. For John, love and fear cannot coexist. When we love one another, God lives in us. When God lives in us, we have nothing to fear. All our sin, our inadequacies, our disappointments, our shame, insecurities are confronted with grace and mercy rather than punishment and wrath. And for us, you know, at Cornerstone, we have to be alert to when our decisions, our actions are motivated and driven by fear. Sometimes our decisions to engage in community are based on our fear of rejection, our fear of embarrassment, fear of uncertainty, fear of awkwardness. I think we care a little bit too much about things being awkward. Young adults, this week you're going to start gathering in your community groups, and some of you are getting nervous. Who's going to be in my group? Am I going to like them? Are they going to like me? Will it be a good group? Can I trust them? Can I open up to them? All of these are normal and natural concerns. But can I push you to go the next step? Can I push you to go into these gatherings with a fearless love? God already loves you the way you are. God sent Jesus for you. You get to go to these gatherings and you need to be ready to love on whoever it is that, you know, is leading your group, whoever will be joining your group. Quiet those anxieties with truth. God loves those people who will be in community group with you. When you come here on Sunday mornings, I know it's overwhelming. The past few Sundays, we've been over 300 people. Can we walk into these gatherings understanding that God loves me, God loves these people, God lives in me, He makes me fearless to love on others. I don't have to worry about being awkward. That's the least of my concerns. And I'll give you permission. Be really awkward. Be super awkward with one another and say, Pastor Hojin told me to do it. Because what we have to focus on is the fact that God is, He resides in us. He empowers us to love one another. And we can just try different things. Perfect love is what we have access to, and the perfect love casts aside all illegitimate fears and allows us to love others in confidence. We love one another because God loves us. We love one another because God lives in us. And lastly, we love one another because God loves through you. This is the third reason. God loves through you. Verse 12, no one has seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. That phrase, His love is perfected in us, it might make you uncomfortable. It almost sounds like there's something lacking about God's love. There's something imperfect about God's love. But rather, what's happening here is that when John says His love is perfected in us, he's saying His love is completed. The mission of His love comes to its proper conclusion. God didn't love us so that we would be loved and then just stay loved. God loved us so that we would love others. That was His goal all along. We have the privilege, we have the responsibility of closing the loop on God's mission that He started in Jesus Christ by loving one another in the body of believers well. In verses 19 to 20, John writes, we love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. How, in John's, you know, paraphrasing John, how can people who say that they love God look at the people whom God loves and be physically in front of them and not love them? That's what John is asking. God is not physically visible, but He sends Jesus as a manifestation of His love. And now Jesus is no longer physically visible, but Jesus sends out His disciples to be the manifestation of His love. The issue here is love in theory and love in action. And John exposes the contradiction in saying that we love God while not tangibly, practically loving sisters and brothers in the faith. God loves you, God lives in you, and God wants to love through you. That's how He wants to accomplish His will in this world. And for our mission statement, we intentionally chose the word invests because initially it was actually engages. We want Cornerstone Church to be engaging in a loving community, but that was too soft. It's not enough to just participate. It's not enough to just be involved. We have to invest in it. We have to give of ourselves, our time, energy, resources into this community. Because that's what God did when He loved us. In John 13, Jesus washes the disciples' feet before He goes to the cross, and He says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The strategy for evangelism that Jesus sets up here is that we will love so well that people look at us and see something otherworldly. And some of you have testimonies of that, having come to Cornerstone and received and experienced love that you didn't find anywhere else. Share those testimonies with others. Invite people to this body. Let's love well. Because this sermon is not about being inwardly focused. It's being inwardly focused so that we can be outwardly focused. We must love one another because God loves you, God loves me, God lives in you, and God loves through you. As I close, I want to show a video, and I realized last time I showed a video of the Olympics, and this is a triathlon, and I hate running. I don't know why I'm showing these videos. But last Sunday was the World Triathlon Series in Mexico. And maybe you have seen this video, but this is the elite men's event. And I just want to show you the last portion of it.
Johnny Brownlee may not make the finishing line. He's looking over his shoulder. He is desperately in trouble. Just get him some fluid here. He cannot be helped. I don't think I've ever seen this. Let's see if Alistair stops. Johnny Brownlee is not going to finish this race. Alistair's come. He's got him. I have never seen this before. Henry Schulman is going to win this race because Alistair Brownlee has stopped for his brother. I don't even know if that is allowed. Is incredible.
I don't think he cares if it's allowed or not.
That is the most incredible thing I have ever seen in a triathlon. Alistair Brownlee is trying to get his brother across the line. Coming down, the two Brownlees, it'll be Richard Murray on the blue carpet in just a few seconds. This is absolutely insane. Here comes Richard Murray. The two Brownlees are trying desperately to get across the line. Oh my God, Johnny Brownlee is second. It'll be third across the line, Alistair Brownlee, and then can Mario Mola be fourth? That is the most insane last few meters. Please show me the path picture. Just won the most insane final 2 minutes of racing I've ever seen in triathlon.
Whether that was legal or not, yeah, between the Brownlees.
That is the most brotherly thing.
Brotherly love, that was what it was.
Oh simple my as. Goodness.
Sorry, I went back, so that video is going to play. Can you kind of cue it for the next slide? First thought when I saw this video, honestly, was, man, I wish I had an older brother like that. So Alistair is the one who wasn't wobbling. He's older by 2 years, biological brother to Johnny, who was the one in the last kilometer of this triathlon. He's hitting heat stroke. His eyes are starting to roll, his legs aren't functioning, and his brother comes along, and Johnny was in first place, his brother was in second, and then there was a guy tailing them, third place. Alistair, he grabs his brother's arm, puts it around his shoulder, and drags him the last kilometer, and not only that, he pushes him across to finish before him. So they finish second and third in this race. Yeah, my initial thought was, I wish I had a brother like that. But after reflecting on this passage, I realized the thought, at least amongst the body of believers, is I want to be a brother like that. I want to be an older brother that recognizes when somebody around me is struggling, somebody's legs are wobbling, somebody's eyes are rolling back when they're trying to live out their faith. I want to be an older brother who surrenders what they might gain, their personal desires, so that even if I lose, my sister, my brother would gain. And unsurprisingly, a reporter in the UK, they're from Britain, sought out Johnny and Alistair's parents. How were they as kids? What did you do to raise them so well? When we love one another so well, you know who will get the attention? Our spiritual dad, our heavenly father. When we love well, God gets the glory that he deserves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer loved this man in Life Together. He writes, "The person who loves their dream of community will destroy community. But the person who loves those around them will create it. It's one thing to hang a picture in our minds of what good community looks like. It's one thing to be a Yelp reviewer that kind of thinks that they have an idea of what good community should look like and sits in on Cornerstone Sunday service or a Cornerstone small group, community group. But it's a totally different thing to actually do the job, do the work of loving one another. The person who just dreams about it destroys community. But the one who loves just those around them begins to create the community that they desire. And those of you who are looking for a church, my prayer is that you would not be a customer, highlighting the pros and cons of each church. My prayer is that you would walk into each and every church and say, how can I invest? God loves these people. God lives in these people too, and God wants to love through these people. How can I invest? Is this where you want me to pursue your kingdom mission? If it's Cornerstone, awesome, let's get to work. But if it's not, still awesome. We'll help you find the church that you need to be at. We just want you to invest in a community. And those of us who have been at Cornerstone a little bit longer, we face a greater challenge. And I'm pleading with you to go deeper and broader in your investment of community. It's not enough to just check the list and say, oh, I'm serving in this ministry or that ministry. But even in that place of serving, how do I go deeper? How do I go wider? Because the people I'm serving with, the people I'm trying to serve, they need to know that God loves them, that God wants to abide in them, and God wants to love through them. Every person here, I'm certain, wants to be a part of a loving community, but today, let's invest in a loving community. We must love one another because God loves you, God lives in you, and God loves through you. Amen? Let's pray. God, we thank you that John doesn't mince words. He doesn't mess around. He says, if we know you, we must love one another. God, we thank you that you do love us. You love us supremely. You love us excessively. You love us extravagantly, much more than we could ever want, much more we could ever deserve. And we thank you that your promise to us when our sins are forgiven is that you would abide in us and you would allow us to abide in you. And even more so, Lord, we thank you that you give us the chance to actually bring about your will, participate in your kingdom mission to make disciples of all people, every nation, every tribe, every tongue. So Lord, today, charge us, equip us, empower us, inspire us, set our hearts aflame so that we will start to love one another in the way that reflects your love. Not love as we determine it, not love as we define it, but according to the lavish, generous love that you've shown to us. So God, move us away from being demanding of good community and move us towards being providers of community. Help us to stop being spectators of community and to be team players for community. God, we want to bring you glory because of just how glorious you are. You really have to be known by other people. People need to know how great you are. And so, Lord, use us in whatever way you please, even if it's reckless, even if it's messy, even if it's awkward. Help us to love one another well for your glory. We thank you so much. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.